County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka The Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for tonight's special episode of TCCP is none other than Worcestershire County Cricket Club newcomer, Ben Gibbon. So Ben, first things first, mate, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
So far, we had a PCA meeting this morning, and then sort of fitness tests and stuff all day. So I think that's the plan for the rest of the week as well. So not much cricket going on this week. I think we're getting back into it next week. So
absolutely, yeah, it's getting closer and closer, isn't it? We're now in March. My goodness, county cricket. Well, the preseason starts this month, and then next month, it's the actual thing. Are you excited, Ben? I'm guessing the answer's yes.
I am, yeah. I'm itching to get outside, to be honest with you. I spent many weeks at Molden Sports Hall staring at the four walls, so I'm ready to get outside.
Yeah, I can imagine you are. The weather's been terrible, hasn't it, as well? In terms of with the storms and the rain and the snow and the sleet and the hail.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a rough winter. It's been very cold as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. So we're meant to be training at Kidderminster next week, but I don't think that'll happen with the way the weather's going at the moment, so.
Crikey, it's a shame, isn't it? But it's the British weather. We have to get used to it, don't we? It's unfortunate, but it does characterise our cricket. And yeah, fingers crossed that the weather does improve at some point and the cricket season can finally get underway after a lengthy off-season. And talk about cricket then, Ben. I think this is a perfect place to actually start our conversation. And that is right at the origin of your cricketing journey. So how did you first get into cricket? What were your first ever memories of the game itself, either playing or watching the magnificent sport of cricket?
Yeah, so I think I was about 7 or 8, maybe even younger than that. My dad brought me down to the club he was playing at the time, Tatnall Cricket Club in Cheshire. He was my first coach at under-9s level. And then sort of from there, the training sessions were Saturday morning, stayed down at the club all day, trained with a few of my mates from the club, just netted all day pretty much, and then continued to do that for about 4 or 5 years after that as well. So I loved it from a young age.
Top man. And you mentioned Tatnall Cricket Club, and I'd like to know a little bit more about this particular game, if I may. I was reading on the website that you played the Lashings World 11, who, for those who don't know, are a famous world cricket touring side made up of former legends here from both England and across the west of the world. Ben, can you tell us a bit more about that game? Because I believe that you won the Man of the Match award, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I won it for my fielding. I caught a catch at Deep Square, I think it was. I think it was Wasim Jaffa, the batsman one. So he clipped one off his legs. And I think I ran around from sort of mid-wicket to backward square and sort of pulled this catch off, which I don't really know how I caught it, to be honest. There's a few photos, and looking back, it's a good memory.
I can imagine it is. Wasim Jaffa as well, excellent player, in particular in first-class cricket, so I imagine that's a badge of honour. But you said you took two catches. Who's the other one? Can you remember who it was?
Scott Styris rings a bell.
You're kidding.
He was playing in that game, yeah. I think it could have been him. But I don't think I bowled that game. I think I just fielded. I think I must have been about 13, 14. Just fielded, so.
It's still a cracking memory, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Wasim Jaffa and Scott Styris. My goodness, I remember Scott Styris in the IPL. That was a while back, but yeah, decent all-rounder, wasn't he?
Very good player.
Was indeed, and yeah, as you said, you can say that you've taken a catch against him at your local cricket club. I can't say the same, to be honest. We've never had any professionals, if I'm not mistaken, at least when I've been playing there. I can't remember facing a first-class cricketer or an international one, but fingers crossed, who knows? Maybe one day the lashings will tour our little rural corner of Warwickshire, but I doubt that's going to happen. And talking of massive cricket names, actually, Ben, in terms of those formative years then at Tatton Hall, aside from your dad, who I'm guessing had a massive influence on your cricket in those early days, who in the world of professional cricket did you look up to in those early years? Did you have any idols, any icons, any role models that you tried to emulate your game off of, per se?
Sort of the main ones are like watching the 2005 Ashes, like people like Freddie Flintoff and stuff like that. But when I was younger, I wasn't really a massive watcher of the game. I just loved playing it. But then as I've grown a bit older, started to watch the game a lot more and sort of try to look out there, sort of going about the game and sort of try and not copy, but try and learn stuff from watching them.
Fair enough. It's always a good strategy when you can, you know, just pick and choose, really, parts of other successful players' games and implement them into your own. It makes you a much better cricketer. Obviously, you don't want to be a carbon copy because you have to carve out your own identity. You are a different player at the end of the day. But when you look at what the successful players do right, it's not a bad idea to put those steps into your own game. And you mentioned the 2005 Ashes. I'm very close to rebranding this podcast, the 2005 Ashes podcast,
because everyone seems to mention it.
Everybody. But again, I'm not complaining, to be honest. It's a great excuse to talk about one of the greatest cricketing series in history. So, Ben, I ask this to absolutely every single one of our guests. If you could go back to 2005 and relive one of those test matches every single day at the ground itself, which one would you choose and why?
Probably when, was it Kasperovic got out? Caught Grant Jones?
Edgbaston.
Yeah, that's probably the one I'd want to go and relive probably and watch.
Good choice. Obviously, I'm not going to disagree with that. That's my home grounds. Unfortunately, though, I can't say that I watched it live. It's such a shame. My first ever England series that I watched was the 2009 Ashes. It was the Great Escape in Cardiff with Monty and Jimmy at the crease. But 2005 Ashes, an iconic series. And the fact that it does come up so often here on the Counter Cricket podcast just shows the influence that it's had on an entire generation of cricketers. Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I remember watching there was a DVD that came out, wasn't it?
The box set.
Yeah, and I remember watching that quite a lot of times. So that was probably I probably wasn't old enough to remember the Ashes anyway, but that was sort of my way of watching it again, reliving it.
It's a great choice of reliving it as well. To be honest, that is a fantastic box set. It really is. Yeah. For those who haven't got it, I thoroughly recommend giving it a purchase. Absolutely. Everybody in the county circuit. It seems to be the shared experience of the 2005 Ashes themselves. And then in particular in lockdown, everybody was watching that box set. Absolutely. Yeah, everyone. Were you, Ben? Yeah. Were you one of them?
I did watch a lot of cricket because we weren't able to do much of it. But I was quite lucky in lockdown because I could go to work, and so my mind was occupied with other stuff. So I was one of the lucky ones not to be at home all the time. So
fair enough. Thank goodness we're out of that time of our lives, though. That was a really really tough year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, especially without any cricket, made it harder.
Certainly did. Yeah, that was really weird as well when cricket did come back. In the form of the Bob Willis Trophy and a shortened T20 Blast. No fans as well. I know people say about the County Championship and say that, oh, it's only played in front of a couple hundred people anyway, but that still is a difference compared to zero. Playing behind closed doors, it didn't have the same feel, did it, compared to, you know, normal cricket?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of... Well, I remember watching a game, England West Indies, sort of in the COVID year, and they tried to put the crowd noise over the thing, didn't they? And it just wasn't the same, was it?
No, not only was it not the same. I do remember that. That was throughout the entire series, wasn't it? I think they did it in the Pakistan series as well.
Yeah.
And there was always a delay, and the background noise made absolutely no sense either. Yeah. Like, there were just some, like, random shouting in there, just really, again, it's crazy to think that that was only, what, 2 years ago? That wasn't even 2 years ago. That was, like, a year and, what, 7-8 months ago?
Yeah.
Goodness me.
Now we're back to pretty much full stands, aren't we? So we've come a long way, really.
Exactly. And, of course, for the better as well. I mean, it's just fantastic that we as a cricketing community, a collective, can be back watching our home counties again and, you know, experiencing the game that every single one of us love. But going back on to, I suppose, the main course of tonight's podcast, Ben, before we get into the chat about Cheshire, because I'm absolutely fascinated by National Counties cricket and, of course, Worcestershire County Cricket Club. Just one question, I suppose, I have to ask about your game. Left-handed bowler, right-handed batsman. Yeah. Why is that?
Haven't got a clue, really. So I bowl left-handed, right-handed batsman. I'm a right footer as well, kick the ball right-footed. And I'm left-handed. So I've found out I actually do everything the opposite to my dad as well. So don't know why that is.
No, that's really strange.
Yeah.
Right-footed, right-hand bat, left-hand bowler, left-handed. Goodness me, that's a strange mix. Are you not ambidextrous? It is,
I'm not, no. I can't use my other hand in any of them things. So.
Have you never tried bowling right-handed?
I haven't, no.
I was going to say, there's a bowler, he's a spin bowler in South Africa.
I have the nets, but it didn't go very well.
That's like me with leg spin, to be honest. I can probably relate to that. A lot of them ended up on the roof of the nets as opposed to on the wicket itself. But yeah, the bowler I was alluding to, Gregory Makhlukwana, who plays in South Africa, plays for the Knights now. He used to play for the Titans in the old franchise system there. He bowls right hand and left arm off spin. It's absolutely insane to watch. But...
Yeah, but, I was watching the World Under-19s World Cup, and there's a player that plays for them that can bowl left arm round and right arm, and he's pretty good at both as well, to be honest.
That Sri Lankan team, though, have got some very good bowlers, like Dunnith Welalaga's in there. And, of course, you have to have seen Mateesha Pattirana. He's like he's like Malinga.
Yeah.
Incredible,
I've seen a few videos of bowlers with a very similar action to him. There's a few bowlers going around with a sort of a slingy action going on.
Has it ever crossed the mind, Ben? You ever thought, unleash the inner Lasith Malinga?
No.
Never? You've never tried it in the nets?
I'd say I've tried it in the nets, but it's never worked. I've tried a lot of things in the nets, but it's never worked.
I can relate to that. I remember at least attempting to do a Lasith Malinga style delivery. It went horribly wrong. It went into the bushes. Because where our net is, we've got the central net. We've got the clubhouse on the right. And then on the left, there's just a load of bushes. And if the ball goes in there, it's game over. And obviously, when it's a strange release point and you're not used to it, I released the ball far too early. And that ball just went bang, straight into the bushes. So that was £5 that we never got back.
Never get back.
No, but you have to try these things, I suppose. What would you say is the most unorthodox bowling style you've tried in the nets? Because I've tried left arm wrist spin before, and again, that didn't go quite well.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm not a bad left arm off spinner, but leg spin, I can't do it all. Just can't seem to. It always hits the top netting. So.
That's the same issue I have. Exactly the same issue. It comes out way too early. But again, I suppose that's because, you know, it comes with time, doesn't it? It takes a long time to master the art of leg spin as opposed to seam bowling. And actually, that brings me nicely on to another question I had about your game before we move on to Cheshire. Why did you become a seam bowler as opposed to a spinner? Seeing as you mentioned that you've tried left arm or bowling.
I started as a 7-8 year old as a seamer. And then it was never really, I've heard a lot of people on this podcast say, like, they just wanted to bowl fast. But I never really had that. I just sort of liked, like, the repetition of bowling. And the year I did try off spin, I got a side injury. And I was playing in the first team at club level as a batter. And then I sort of didn't really want to stand in the field for 55 overs. So I just said to the captain, What do you think of me? What do you think about me bowling a bit of left arm spin? And he was like, we'll give it a go then. Ended up getting a couple of wickets. But people around me sort of didn't like that. That was giving up seeing to become a spinner, especially my dad. So that year, the year after when I was sort of fully fit, I went back to see him, thankfully.
You say thankfully. I kind of went on a similar journey, to be honest, but I'm still a spin bowler to this day. I used to be a seamer until one schools match. And I've said this story so many times on the podcast, I hate repeating it, to be honest, because it's probably the worst I've ever played on a cricket field. But I bowled five back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back wides in a school game. And from that day onwards, my ambitions, my aspirations of becoming the next Jimmy Anderson evaporated entirely. And to be honest, I don't think it's ever going to come back, because when you're a seam bowler, you need to have either one of two things. You either need to be able to swing the ball, so lots of lateral movement like a Jimmy Anderson, a Chris Rushworth, a Darren Stevens, for example, or you have to be an absolute speed demon like a Jofra, an Ollie Stone, a Brett Lee, whoever. You know, you have to be one of those archetypes almost. And I suppose you can be an enforcer like a Neil Wagner as well and bowl those short pitch deliveries, but no, it's just far too tolling on the body, to be completely honest now, Ben, for me personally. Yeah. Well, I suppose for yourself, you mentioned the repeatability. But aside from that, what is your favourite part of seam bowling as an art form? Is there something in particular which has kept you coming back all over these years?
One of the most satisfying is, without taking a wicket, one of the most satisfying things is beating the bat when you play a shot, like a defensive shot, beating the outside edge, and sort of being on top of a batsman is something I really enjoy. Like just feeling you're running in with good rhythm, you know where the ball's going, and that's sort of a feeling which I really enjoy. That's what I enjoy about bowling. So, and when the conditions are right, swinging it, nipping it off the seam, stuff like that. So over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, I've really enjoyed my bowling. So thankfully it's gone all right at the moment.
It's gone all right, you say, on the back of a 2-year professional deal. Yeah, it's clearly gone all right compared to the rest of us still toiling away in village cricket. But you mentioned there actually about the seam in particular, so nipping it off the surface. And of course, beforehand, we mentioned lateral movement. In terms of your style, Ben, how would you describe yourself as a seam bowler? Are you someone who's an almost off-the-deck bowler, utilises the seam, uses scramble seam, wobble seam, or do you prefer to be the swing artist in the starting 11?
I think it was last year was the first year we started using a Duke's ball in club cricket. But before that, we were using a Reader's ball, which didn't really swing an awful lot. So I sort of learned my craft from just hitting the seam, really. Just try and be as consistent as I can as hitting the seam. But the last couple of years, I've started to try and work on an in-swinger, sort of bringing it back. But I'd say I'm more of a hit the seam bowler rather than a swing bowler at the moment.
But is that something you're looking to add to the repertoire, I'm guessing, in the next couple of years?
Yeah, so like we've done a lot of work this winter on my in-swinger, just like when to know when to bowl it. And also like knowing to how to set the batsman up as well. So sort of going across them and then sort of bringing it back and bringing the pads in as well.
It's so dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is hopefully going to be a good weapon of mine this summer.
Yeah, it will indeed. It will indeed, especially to the right-handers. And it's always a very, very satisfying dismissal, isn't it? Watching a left-arm seam bowler swinging it back in, just going straight through the gates, sending those stumps splattering. Not many better sights in cricket, to be honest, apart from a cartwheel. They're good. Have you ever had a cartwheeling stump before, Ben?
Not many. I haven't had many.
Have you had at least one, though?
I've had one or two, but I think they must... I think they must hammer the stumps in a bit too hard in our league.
Up in Cheshire?
Yeah.
Goodness me. I can't say I ever have. But then again, I'm a spin bowler. I'm lucky if I knock the bales off, let alone send the stumps back. So, yeah, I don't think I'll be sending them cartwheeling, but it's such a satisfying sight. Really is. Love a good cartwheel. Same with a nice Yorker, which just hits the base of the stump. Absolutely beautiful. Again, we could talk about same for the rest of the evening. To be honest, it's a very, very interesting art form. Of course it is. It's a great spectacle for us as cricketing fans. But Ben, I also wanted to touch upon in this podcast, Cheshire County Cricket Club, because we don't often get to speak about them as a county here on the podcast. So in terms of your first impressions and memories of Cheshire, when did you first start going into the Cheshire age group and pathway system?
So I was trialling from, I started under 10s. Didn't get in that year, and then under 11s was my first year. So I played under 11s up until under 17s, which is when the junior stuff stops, and then sort of broke my way into the Cheshire Championship side maybe a couple of years after that. So yeah, I really enjoyed playing for Cheshire, just coming through the age group.
I can imagine you do, because it's your home county, isn't it? Someone born in Chester, the county town, as well. I imagine that's very, very special indeed. And I know that people sometimes knock the national counties. They say, oh, it's not quite first class cricket, but it's a really good feeder system. It's a really, really good opportunity and a fantastic pathway to bring cricketers into second 11 and, of course, first 11 cricket beyond that. And do you remember your Cheshire debut? And I suppose in terms of the feelings, the emotions associated with that day, how were you feeling when you walked out onto that field to represent your boyhood county?
Yeah, we were playing Wiltshire at Chester Boughton Hall. And I was a bit nervous, to be honest. I think I came on first change. I think it kept it quite tight, but I don't think I got any wickets. But sort of... I think minor county just puts you in the shop window for more opportunities like second team cricket. And I know I wouldn't be. I think it's a strong, and I think strongly about I wouldn't be sat here now playing for Worcester if I didn't play minor counties for Cheshire.
Well, absolutely. That's the entire point of it, though, isn't it? In terms of those minor counties. You think of the partnerships as well, that a lot of them have formed. So, for example, Oxfordshire, they have a partnership with Sussex. We have a partnership with Staffordshire. Yeah. Worcestershire have Shropshire, almost like a satellite academy system as well.
Yeah.
They're massively important. They are an integral part of the English cricketing infrastructure. And to be honest, you've got some pretty good names in there. I know Graham Wack, he plays for Shropshire. Anish Kapil as well. He's in the minor county still, isn't he?
He didn't. Anish plays in our league, so he didn't play for Cheshire this year, but maybe he will, maybe next year or year after.
Fingers crossed. I remember him coming onto the scene in county cricket. He looked like a serious prospect.
He looked like a good player when we played him in club cricket last year. Good batsman.
Absolutely, yeah. My Lancastrian co-host, unfortunately, he's not here tonight, Joe, but he could probably give us some greater insight into that.
Yeah, I think. Me and Joe went to the same college.
Oh, no way. I'll have to tell Joe about this after the podcast. He's not here this week. It's such a shame. He's busy doing some projects in his United District work, but I'll tell him after the podcast. Oh, that would be class. We might need a follow-up, to be honest. Did you ever get him out?
Please, I remember, because he played... I think he was... Has he just left college or is he 2 years gone?
Second year of uni now.
Yeah, so... But I remember playing club cricket against him. I think... I don't know whether I got him out, but I think he got out.
cheaply as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Oh, dear. Joe never told us about that. He usually brings up the Cheadle stories on the podcast as my Lancastrian co-host, but hasn't brought that one up. We'll have to get to the bottom of that some point on the podcast. Thanks for that, Ben. That's brilliant for me as well. I'll ask him after this recording, but getting back onto topic, Joe should have been here tonight. That'd have been absolutely hilarious. Yeah. Could have set him right up. But in terms of Cheshire and the national counties, what would you say has been your proudest moment in a Cheshire shirt to date? Is there one particular moment, one particular highlight, which stands out to you above all others?
Probably last season when we played Wiltshire at Audley Edge, getting my first fifer for Cheshire. And that's probably why I got a contract, because that's actually a funny story. The week after I got that fifer, the umpire from the end I bowled at for the 3 days, he messaged me and said, would you like me to put a word in at Worcester? I think it's fair to say I snapped his hand off. And then on the back of that, I got a couple of games in the twos last year. So that game probably, again, put me in the shop window for second team cricket down at Worcester.
Absolutely. And again, it comes on to that reoccurring theme about just how important the national counties are in terms of that English cricketing network, I suppose. And isn't it funny how life works out? One game, one performance has literally catapulted you from national counties to second 11 cricket all the way to professional deal. You must be incredibly proud, Ben.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So I had my sort of mindset from the start of last summer was it's sort of now or never, really. I know I'm only 21, but I thought if I'm going to give the professional game a really good go, which I want to, I have to sort of perform this year. And lucky enough, I did. Put in a good performance for club, and I was lucky enough to play for Worcester 2 at the end of last year. So
it is funny, isn't it? Just one game, one catalyst, one moment, and it set you on the path to playing county cricket, which is, to be honest, every cricket fan's dream in this country, and now you get to live it. It's pretty cool, to be honest. In Worcestershire, not a bad county. Obviously, our rivals here in the Midlands, the Bears versus Pears, but Worcestershire, 5 times winners of the county championship. They've had so many fantastic names. And you mentioned there about your performances in last summer, I suppose. I do actually have the stats, courtesy of Play Crickets, which is a fantastic website for those who don't know outside of the UK. Play Cricket, if you want to know someone's stats, absolutely ideal. So in terms of in the NCCA championship, so the national counties, you played 3 matches, 10 wickets at 19. That's not bad at all, 5-43 against Wiltshire. And then with the bat as well, Ben, I want to know this. How much pride do you take in your batting? Because I also noticed a cheeky 44 in that game.
Yeah, I do put a lot of work into my batting. There's gone on the days where you're a bowler and you're nothing else. I sort of put a lot of time and effort into all three aspects of my game, just to try and improve them all. Sort of, I know you say about that 44 last year, but that was probably my only, was it my top score? It probably was for last year, but because I had to put so much time into my bowling, my batting sort of did drop off last year, and I didn't get many runs until that 44, which would probably my only score all year, to be honest.
Again, though, is that something that you're trying to obviously improve upon? I'm guessing from that passage, absolutely.
Yeah, I am, I've been working. I feel like since I started at Worcester to now, I feel like my batting's in a better place than it was. So I'm hitting a lot more balls, and we're training twice a week, so it can only get better, really.
And you're getting paid for it, which isn't bad at all. It's not bad, is it, when you get that professional deal? As I said, it's a very, very nice journey into the game. The fact that you've played for local village clubs, you've represented your boyhood county in the national counties, and now you're playing county cricket at the age of 21. It's a wonderful, wonderful journey into the game. It really is, Ben. And to be honest, I think it goes without saying, but we are delighted for you here at the County Cricket Podcast, and hopefully, fingers crossed, you do make your Worcestershire debut in this summer. But in terms of the other aspects of national county cricket, we mentioned there the proud moments, the highlights. It is also very tough, isn't it, as a national county player, because as you've just alluded to right there, in the first class counties, you have a lot more training. The facilities are obviously a lot better. You're getting paid, which is a massive difference. What would you say is the toughest aspect of national county cricket? Is it the lack of facilities? Is it the lack of training in comparison? And I'm also guessing it's quite difficult to balance the cricket alongside work as well.
Yeah, that's sort of the main thing. Is it's obviously three-day cricket. You obviously need 2 days off. But what a better way to spend it than 2 days of cricket? But yeah, I played at some really good, really like nice grounds at county cricket level. And then sort of packing your kit up on a Saturday and then driving to sort of Berkshire, which is a long journey. But they're the sort of weekends which sort of make you summer. 4 days of cricket with your mates, like it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. It's an incredible sport. And again, that's why cricket is so fantastic. You know, those away trips, they are good, aren't they? Especially when it comes to cricket. You make some fantastic memories on away trips and cricket tours. It's a great, great part and a great avenue of the game. You make lifetime memories on those games. And I suppose actually talking to the national counties, before we get onto our chats about Worcestershire and we look forward to this season, just one final thing, and it is quite abstract. It is a little bit unorthodox, but I mention it all the time here on the podcast. And that is our proposed FA Cup style of cricket competition here in England and Wales. Now, I understand that in theory, this sounds remarkable. It sounds absolutely extraordinary. Obviously, we're massive fans of implementing this style of tournament, but I suppose in reality and logistically, would it be feasible? That's questionable. It would take a lot by the ECB in order to make this dream a reality. Yeah. But Ben, let's say we did live in that alternative universe where there was an FA Cup style ECB tournament where you've got the first class counties, you've got the national counties, and maybe the best of the best of village and club cricket in this country. Would you be in favour of that? Yes or no?
I would, yeah, 100%. Love to see it.
It'd be amazing.
I know there's a lot of talk about sort of minor counties, and I think it's even happening. Like, you know, so I know last year we were meant to play Warwickshire at Chesterton or Cheshire versus Warwickshire. But I think that got COVID stopped that. But it's an interesting to think about, isn't it? Just sort of minor counties, club cricket and first class cricket coming together to play each other. It'd be interesting to see.
It would indeed, and that's what I really quite like about it. As a hypothesis, I suppose it is all hypothetical, it's all theoretical, but it would generate a completely different style of cricket fan. Because obviously we're all fans of the 18 first class counties. You might have your national county, which is your local one as well. But I think the best bit would be the village sides. Let's say there's a giant killing, and I don't know, aside from, let's just go Kenilworth Wardens, because they're from Warwickshire. Kenilworth Wardens beating, I don't know, the Welsh minor counties or Cornwall or even one of the 18 first class counties. They dispatch Surrey or Yorkshire or Durham. That would just make cricket so incredible. That would dominate headlines. As I said, it would generate a completely different style of fan because you've got these real local teams. You'd have cult heroes emerging. And can you imagine some of the content that would be produced for social media when you've got some village sides taking on the likes of Warwickshire, Somerset, Lancs, Yorkshire? It would be absolutely incredible.
It'd be a good watch.
Oh, it would. Ben, it would be brilliant. It'd be absolutely fantastic. But again, we do have to ground ourselves in reality, unfortunately. They tried it with the NatWest / Gillette Trophy. A lot of people have mentioned that in the last 24 hours. And again, some great, great matches there. Some massive giant killings over the years in that competition. But I suppose now with four competitions already, unless they were to remodel and revamp the RLODC, for the time being, we're just going to have to put it on the back burner, unfortunately. Yeah. But fingers crossed, we here at the Counter Cricket Podcast remain hopeful that one day we can have that style of trophy, because it'd be absolutely incredible. It really, really
maybe,
would.
Maybe sort of minor character getting involved with that 50-over comp is probably not a million miles away.
Well, you mentioned the exhibition game. And funnily enough, I was actually meant to go to that Chester Boughton Hall, Cheshire versus Warwickshire. It was the NCCA exhibition game, wasn't it? The showcase is what they called it. That would be interesting in the future, wouldn't it? Because again, that would be very much like the old NatWest or Gillette Trophy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that actually in the next few years or so. Maybe there'd have to be a lot more fixtures, but it's probably, I wouldn't be surprised at all if I heard the minor counties were getting involved.
We'll have to wait and see. That would be class. I'd absolutely love an away day either to Cheshire or to Wormsley in Buckinghamshire. That's a beautiful ground, isn't it?
Never played there, but I know Cheshire got to the 50-over final, but wasn't selected, so didn't go in the end.
One day, Ben, fingers crossed, we'll get the chance. Because funnily enough, actually, our other co-host, Lucy, I bring up this story quite often, actually, on the podcast, but in 2021, she was the scorer for the PCA Legends game at Wormsley. So she is the only one of us three to have actually been there for a game. So, yeah, fingers crossed, we both get the opportunity, actually, one day. I'd like to go, to be honest, to the Wormsley estate. It's a gorgeous-looking cricket ground, and... yeah, need to get down there, definitely. Hopefully Warwickshire can play there one day. I'd absolutely love that. But Ben, aside from Cheshire and the national counties, we go on to your most recent club, your club for 2022 and 2023, which will, of course, be Worcestershire County Cricket Club. So how did that move materialise in the first place? You mentioned there about the umpire passing on the details, but how did the cogs actually get into motion in the first place?
So I was I played a second team game for Lancs at I can't remember the ground, but it was against Durham.
Was it Jesmond?
Yeah, Jesmond, sorry. That was it. And then I played for Cheshire the week after, so the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then Lancs had a game the week after that, which I agreed to play. And then sort of a couple of days before that Lancs game, the umpire texted me. And then off the back of that, I got a Worcester game the week after the Lancs game, which was it was against Leicester at, I forget where it was. You'll probably know, will you? So that was my first game. And then I played another game at Scarborough. And then it was quite sort of the last game of the season for club. Lancs and Worcester. I think Lancs offered me a contract. And then Worcester offered me one as well, which I thought there'd be a little bit more opportunity at Worcester. Being the only left armer, so that's the decision I chose in the end, which I'm loving it at the moment. So,
well, that will put a nice smile on the faces of the Worcestershire fans tuning in to tonight's podcast. But was that actually quite difficult, because you've been offered a contract by two clubs? Lancashire, of course, for people up in the northwest, is the club. You think of all the history, the tradition associated with that great organisation. Was it difficult to actually turn down that contract in the first place?
Yeah. It was a surreal day, to be honest. Now looking back, it was it happened very quickly, sort of a mad 24 hours. But in the end, I'm glad I chose Worcester.
Fair enough. And to be honest, from what Jack Haynes told us on the podcast, definitely seems to be paying off. He mentioned you by name, to be honest, Ben. He said you're someone to watch out for. So we'll see if Jack Haynes' prediction does come true over the course of the 2022 season. Fingers crossed it does, of course.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
And in terms of Worcestershire as a club, what were your first impressions? Because you played pretty much the majority of your club cricket and national county cricket up in the northwest. up until this point. What were your first impressions of New Road, Worcestershire as a club, and of course, the teammates that you now share a dressing room with for the county?
The lads are top draw, really. They've welcomed me really well. I've sort of settled in really nicely. So it's sort of the changing room's actually not too dissimilar to like my club changing room back home. So sort of like it's quite a down to earth group, like a good mix of youngsters and experienced lads. So yeah, I think we've got potential to succeed this season, all being well. So
absolutely, in particular in white ball cricket. I've noticed that with the Rapids. My goodness, they really are a very, very good T20 outfit in particular. Winners in 2018, finalists in 2019. Watch out for Worcestershire this season. I know they narrowly missed out this year. And actually, it was Warwickshire who went through in their place as a result of Josh Inglis's 118 not out against Worcestershire. But yeah, they are a very, very dangerous side. Imagine again, they'll be competing in the T20 Blast in 2022. And actually, that brings me very nicely, Ben, onto your aspirations for Worcestershire this season. Is white ball cricket on the radar, or for the time being, are you focusing more on second 11 cricket and, of course, the championship?
I think I'm fully concentrated on sort of making my championship debut for Worcester, because I think I'd love to play white ball, but I think red ball is where my skills are at the moment. That's where I'm. That's where my strength is. All being well, my white ball skills improve, and I do get a go in the white ball stuff. But at the moment, I'm just sort of trying to concentrate on red ball and sort of try and bowl well in training every day and see where that takes me, really.
Well, exactly. You never know what life's got in store, do you? And this journey into county cricket is a fantastic example of that, with the way in which it's come about. You know, if you just work hard, train hard, keep on working those fundamentals, keep on improving your game, anything can happen. Cricket is a very, very funny sport. Like the amount of debuts that we've had on this podcast who were spontaneous, impromptu, they didn't even know they're going to play on the day. And then all of a sudden, they get the call up. It's off the charts. So yeah, just keep on working hard, Ben. That'd be my advice for today's episode. And in terms of the championship, and I suppose Worcestershire as a whole for this summer, if you could choose one game to appear in, which game would you most look forward to? Would it be the game against Lancs? Would it be the local rivalry, the Bears versus Pears at Edgbaston? Or is there another game which takes your fancy, per se?
I've heard a lot of things about the Warwickshire game.
Like what?
Just the atmosphere is probably one of the best you'll ever get all year. And sort of at New Road, it's a smaller ground. I suppose you feel the atmosphere a little bit more. I don't know. I've never played in front of a crowd, but these are just things I've been told.
Well, hopefully you get the opportunity this summer, Ben, because it's a fantastic fixture. It really is. Obviously, I'm really biased and I want Warwickshire to win because we play for the Normand Gifford Trophy. For those who don't know, it is actually a piece of silverware and it's currently at its rightful home at the Fortress. And hopefully we'll be able to retain that heading into this summer. But honestly, it's a fantastic derby. Every single player, no matter whether you're a Bear or indeed a Pear, every single one of them says that is the standout of the summer. As soon as the fixtures come out, getting the little pen, circling right next to that one, that is the game you want to appear in. So we'll have to wait and see, Ben, if you get the chance. Unfortunately, we won't in the championship because we're in different divisions. But in white ball cricket, again, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. So, Ben, one final question then for tonight's episode before we say our final goodbyes for the recording. It's 2022. We mentioned there already you want to make your championship debut, of course. And obviously, I'm guessing silverware is on the agenda as well for Worcestershire as a club. They will want to win another trophy, hopefully, in 2022. But looking forward to 2023 as well and the rest of your cricket career, what are you hoping to achieve in this contract at New Road? What are your real aspirations with the club itself?
Well, first and foremost, making my debut for Worcester. And then sort of cementing my spot in whatever team it is. And then sort of playing as long as I can, really. Just trying to be as successful as I can and win games for Worcester down the line, I think, going forward.
That's all you can do, to be fair. Yeah, win games for Worcester, hopefully for the Worcestershire faithful as well. Get your hands on some silverware. It's always a nice feeling. But honestly, Ben, it goes without saying, but myself, Joe, Lucy, everyone here at the Counter Cricket Podcast, wishing you absolutely nothing but the best of luck heading into this summer, as well as Worcestershire. We'll wish the club well as well heading into summer 2022. And fingers crossed, yeah, you get to make your debut at some point in this summer. But Ben, I mean, that is basically it, to be honest, for today's episode of the Counter Cricket Podcast. Before we say our final goodbyes for the episode, do you have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, websites, anything like that?
Not really, no, other than just get behind the Worcester boys this year.
Not even the Instagram? You're not going to plug the Insta?
You can follow me on Instagram, ben.gibbon1, if you want.
There we go, folks. ben.gibbon1, we'll be leaving the link to that in the podcast description below. If you want to go and give Ben a follow, keep charts with his Worcestershire journey, please feel free to do that at your own discretion. As I said, the link to that will be in the podcast description below. But that is it from us two here at the Counter Cricket Podcast for tonight's episode. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.